And this morning we're going to be talking about the darkness into light, darkness into light. And before I start, I really want to just preface my comments with saying that this is not all that the Bible has to say about darkness. Darkness is a theme that's covered throughout Scripture, nor is it the only things that we should do when we find ourselves in darkness. There's a lot of things that are left out of here, and so don't think that this is like, you know, the entirety of the message. God's Word has much to say about how to handle different situations. And so you might say, well, Pastor, should we seek counseling? Yes, you should seek counseling. It's not in this message. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't do certain things, but what I am saying is that these things that we're covering this morning apply to every situation that you find yourself in. And they will be of help to you no matter where you are. So with that, the first thing that we want to look at is dealing with darkness. And that's kind of really the whole theme throughout this whole message today is, what do we do when we find ourselves in a position of, well, like David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul, right? When we're discouraged, when we're frustrated, when we're angry. That we find ourselves in, and in order to be able to, you know, cope, continue on. And so the first thing that we need to do is kind of get a sense of what's going on, because there's a couple of different things that happen. Should I switch mics, Michael? Would that be better? There's a couple of different things that happen. One is we might find ourselves in darkness because of our own sin, and it might be sin that we aren't really thinking of, because we have a tendency to justify our own sin, right? And say, oh, that wasn't that bad. It wasn't near as bad as what this other person did to me, right? And so we might find ourselves, in a sense of darkness because of our own sin. We also might find ourselves in a sense of darkness or frustration because of other people's sin in our life. We know that as long as we live in this world, we're going to interact with sinners, and that's going to cause hardship on us. But then there's also times when we find ourselves in darkness, and it's not really due to our sin or others' sin. Maybe it's just the general curse of sin that causes us to be where we are. But the first thing that we need to do is repent of our sins. Matthew 5:25 says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. When you sin against somebody and you have that nagging feeling of, you know, now there's this between us, right? There's this between me and you, and we need to take care of it immediately. That's the idea here, is agree with your adversary quickly. If he says, hey, you did this to me, don't spend a lot of time arguing over the details. Just get over with it. Apologize, move on. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. When we try to hide our sin, a lot of times we think of, oh, I'll just do this one sin to serve me, right? And then we find ourselves in a whole world of sin that we never intended to get into. And we need to confess our sin and forsake it so that God will have mercy upon us. The reality is oftentimes we think that we can cover up our sin and then we will prosper. It does not work that way. It never does. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Each one of us is a sinner, and we have sin in our life, and we need to repent. We need to come to Jesus Christ, and that's what this communion table is about. Recognizing that He shed His body and blood for us, and we need to repent and put our faith in Him, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and have our sins forgiven. And then we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will comfort us, encourage us, and help us to live the life that we're supposed to live. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." When we receive forgiveness of sins, and by faith accept, receive that forgiveness, right? A lot of times we think, oh, I got to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and somehow we separate that from actually being forgiven of our sins, right? We think, oh, Jesus is my Savior, but I'm still carrying around all this guilt in my life. We need to actually receive that forgiveness. And then there's this beautiful thing called the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. When we are in right standing with God, when we know that there's nothing between us and Him, there is just this wonderful feeling of renewal, refreshment. It's called joy, and it is a beautiful thing. So when we feel lost, when we feel something is not right, the first thing that we want to do is repent. Is there anything in my heart? What did David pray? "Search my heart, O God, and see if there is any wicked way within me." Then he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The first thing that we must do is to repent of our sins. Who got baptized a couple weeks ago? Was there a refreshing feeling when you got baptized? Was that good? Do you feel like, just man, if I could just hold on to this feeling forever, right? That's what it means to be reconnected with, not necessarily reconnected, but to repent and just have that time of refreshing. To know that we are right with God. Second thing is, suffer in hope. John 9:1-5 tells this story about Jesus. It says, "Now Jesus, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" You see, even today, but especially in the ancient world, their view, you know, they didn't think the weather was determined by, you know, currents and all that sort of stuff. When something happened in their life, it was direct result from God or the gods, right? Everything that happened was God. Well, we know that God is in control of all things. So that's not too far from the truth, but we also know from science, how God sets up weather systems and all of that sort of stuff. But here's the disciples asking this question. Why was this man born blind? There must have been some reason. Was it because of his parents' sin, where he was being punished because of what his parents did? Or was it something that he was going to do in his life that God knew about, and so he was born blind because to punish him for his sin? If we go back and look at Job, that's what Job's friends kept saying to Job. Hey, God is just. He's not going to mistreat somebody unless they deserve it. And if you're saying, Job, that you don't deserve all these things that have happened to you, then you're calling God unjust. So what was Jesus' answer? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he healed that blind man. If we look at the story of Job, we see the devil goes before God, right? And God says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none righteous like him. How do you think Job's attitude would have been in his suffering had he known what God had said about him? I think it might have been a little bit different. I'm pretty sure it would have been a lot different. But Job didn't know what God had said about him. He just saw everything around him being destroyed. Even his own health eventually. Paul says this, and this should be our attitude. In Romans chapter 8, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Anybody done any groaning lately? Yeah, we groan sometimes, right? My wife has heard me doing some groaning with all this recovery from this accident that we had. And we do. We feel the weight of this old sinful body. Not only that, but we also have, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Sometimes we don't get the answers as to why we're suffering. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes the doctors don't have the answers. Sometimes when we pray, just like the Apostle Paul, the answer is either not now or no. But even in those times, we must understand that our suffering in this life is nothing to be compared to what we will experience in glory. The glory that's going to be revealed in us. A lot of times as we get older, our body doesn't work like it used to. It begins to fail. It begins to wear out. And we start to think, wow, what's it going to be like to get that new body? What's it going to be like to be able to run and not get tired? Right? What's it going to be like to be able to just do whatever it is that I want to do? And this body will just do it. We look forward to that times when our body is renewed. But we're looking forward to that time. We haven't got it. When we received Jesus as our Christ, our body did not instantly transform into a renewed body. We still have this old body. And so we're looking forward and we're suffering in hope because we know the promises of God that when we die, He is going to give us a new body. So, what do we do? How do we help to move forward? How do we help to have joy even in the midst of pain? The first thing we want to do, and one of the most important things we can do, is discipline our mind. Discipline your mind. First, take your mind off yourself. The two greatest commandments is to love God and to love your neighbor. Part of doing that is to stop thinking about me all the time and start thinking about God and my neighbor. Right? 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." When you're in a dark place, the first thing you want to do is redirect your thoughts from your suffering to God's faithfulness, who God is, His love for us. And then we want to express that in loving others. We want to obey God's commandments, keep His commandments, and we want to love other people. When we do that, it will bring joy into our life. Second thing is, renew your mind. Not only do we need to start taking our thoughts off of ourselves and put them on God and others, but we also need to renew our mind. Focus on what we are thinking about. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." What does that mean? It means that you're still alive, and yet you've given over your body to God. Right? That whatever is done in your body is going to be for Him. That's what a living sacrifice is. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even as I go through this struggle, I'm not going to allow it to overcome me. I am going to overcome that struggle. How? By keeping my mind on God's promises. By keeping my mind on what God wants me to do. By keeping my mind on how to love others, even in the midst of my pain and sorrow. Philippians 4, 4 through 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, I can testify that that is true. When you put your trust in God, when you pray and you give Him the problem, And then you go out and do what you believe He wants you to do. He will guard your heart. He will guard your mind. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What does that mean about the things that aren't praiseworthy? What about the things that are not of a good report? What about the things that have no virtue? Things that aren't true? When they come into our mind, oh, what if this happened? What should we do with those things? Should we meditate on them? Allow our emotions to be driven by them? No. We only meditate on the things that are good, that are lovely, that are just, that are true. Why? That's what God wants us to do. Why? Because He wants us to have joy in our life. He doesn't want us to be miserable about thinking about all the things that could happen. So, disciplining your mind. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean you must take active steps to control what you think about. Think about what is going into your mind. When you listen to the radio, what is going into your mind? When you listen to the news, what is going into your mind? If you're already struggling with fear of the future, don't listen to the news. It's not going to help you. Or find a better place to get your news. Right? Think about what am I surrounding myself with. Take control of your thoughts. Don't allow your mind to wander. Allowing your mind to wander is like going 70 miles an hour and allowing your car to wander. Just taking your hand off the steering wheel and saying, oh, let's see what happens. Don't do that. And don't allow your mind to wander either. Think about things that are good. What does Deuteronomy chapter 6 say? What should we be thinking about when we're sitting down, when we're standing up? When we're walking by the way, right? Don't allow your mind to wander. Think about what God wants you to think about. Number three, walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? When things look dim, grim, when there's not a lot of hope, now, am I saying it's not wrong? It's wrong to be sad? No, it's not wrong to be sad at all. Being sad is not a sin. It's a normal part of what we experience as human emotion. Right? There's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with being discouraged. But we must understand that there is a bigger aspect to this world than what we can see with our eyes, what we can think with our mind, right? So many times we have the mindset of the servant who looks out and sees nothing but an opposing army, and we don't see God's army, right? And so we need to walk by faith that God's promises are true and that He is going to provide for us. And then we walk not by sight, but trusting in God's promises. A lot of times we quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but I want to just focus in on verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When God tells us to love our neighbor and you say, God, have you seen this guy? Right? The one I sleep next to at night? That's my neighbor? And have you seen him? Right? And God says, love him. And you say, God, that doesn't make any sense. God, you're just not making a lot of sense right now. What should we do? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Right? Now, does that mean don't get counseling? No, please do get counseling. Okay? Please do. Please get counseling. You can come talk to me. Okay? My wife and I are glad to counsel you. Get counseling, please. But we must walk by faith. What did Abraham do? God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He didn't have any kids. He didn't have any kids. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And guess what? He believed him. Nobody was there to say, Abraham, you don't have any kids. But he just believed him. He said, okay. And he just did whatever God wanted him to do. And then God said, oh, by the way, now that you're really old, how old was he? How old? 100? And then he says, God says, oh, by the way, this time next year, your wife is going to have a baby. And she's 99, 98. What? 90? And Abraham said, what? No, he didn't say that. He said, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, that's normal. Right? Abraham believed God. He believed him. And he just did what God told him to do. And that's the attitude that we have to have. We have to just, God, you want me to love that person who's hurt me and who's sinned against me? Okay. That's what you want me to do. I'll do it. That doesn't mean don't get counseling. Please get counseling. Okay? Third. C. 3C. Plant seeds of kindness. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, sometimes it's really easy to lose heart waiting to reap a harvest. When the storms of life come through, oh man, what's left? What's left of the crop? Right? And we get anxious. And we get anxious with God. God, when are you going to bless me? When are you going to turn my life around? How long do I have to do the right things for the right reasons before I start to see that reward? But you got to keep going. Don't grow weary while doing good. Keep planting the right seeds. Because one day you will reap a harvest. It is a physical law, and it is a spiritual law that when you plant, you will reap. And so we must sow seeds. Sow seeds of kindness. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of goodness. Plant what you want to get back. I'm not talking about sowing a seed of giving to the church $10 and getting out $100. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing unto others as you would want them to do to you. When you're struggling, and maybe you're not in a good place mentally, you're frustrated, discouraged, do something kind for somebody else. Take your mind off of yourself and your problems and go and bless somebody. Be a blessing. And then you will reap blessings. Last one. We're going to go fast. Hope in the future. Trusting in God's goodness. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 27. I would highly recommend you read the whole thing sometime this week. And I was going to read 7 through 14. We don't even have time for that. We're just going to read verses 10. We're just going to pick up in verse 10. It says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." We have to trust in God's goodness. We have to believe that his promises are true, and that when we live the right way, that God will bless. David says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And let me tell you, you are surrounded by people who have lost heart because they don't believe that they will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we must remain faithful to God. We must remain faithful to His promises and continue to put our hope and trust in Him. Because His promises are true. And that is what we're living our whole life based upon. Our hope in this life is not that we're going to live happily ever after. If you thought becoming a Christian was going to make you live happily ever after, you got the wrong idea. But our hope is that when we die, yet we shall live, and we shall live with Him in glory forever. And that will be happily ever after. There is a paradise, it's just not in this life. But our hope is in eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." What is heaven like? We don't even know the tip of it. Right? We know some things, but we don't even know the tip of it. What our Heavenly Father has planned for us. And I know He's up there, just can't wait for us to get up there and see it. And I personally can't wait to get up there and see it myself. Right? When the day that I'm going to fly away and be ushered into the presence of God, oh man, that gets me excited. Romans 8, 18 and 19, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Everything around us in this world is waiting for a crescendo. And that crescendo is when God is going to come back and we are going to be caught up into the air with Him. And we are going to be ushered into eternity, and God is going to renew all things as He originally planned. John 14, 1 through 4, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And we know from verse 6 that Jesus is the way. Our hope is not that we will remove all suffering from this life. If that's your goal, you have the wrong goal. Our goal is that the sufferings that we face will bring glory to God, and that when we enter into eternity, there will be no suffering. That's our goal. If we're in this life, we're going to experience suffering. And if we're going to experience suffering, let it be because of somebody else's sin and not our own, right? Let's not bring suffering upon ourselves. But let's trust in God, obey His word, do what He says, and faithfully look forward to His coming. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this communion table, Lord, as we think about all that You have done for us in shedding Your blood on the cross, Your body broken for us, God, we are not deserving. We are not... we are not even in a position to understand how much You love us. But Lord, we can see just from this one symbol, the cross, we know that You love us. Lord, we don't always know what You're doing in our situation. Lord, when people die, when people get hurt, Lord, when we go through depression, anxiety, frustration, Lord, we don't understand why those things happen. But Lord, we trust You. We trust that not only are You still present, but that You're working in our life. And not only that You're working in our life, Lord, but You're working for our good. Lord, we don't always understand how everything works, and we don't have to. We're not God. Thankfully, we're just the creature. But Lord, help us to not lose focus. Help us to not lose focus on who You are in the midst of our struggle. That You are good, and You're working for our good. And Lord, when You comfort us and You help us overcome, let us not forget. And when we see others who are hurting, let us comfort them as well. Lord, that's the love that You want us to share, that we have received from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.